I'd like to speak to you for a few minutes on Romans chapter 3 and verse 20. By the law is the knowledge of sin. Why do I want to speak on this text at this time? Well, I am a New Covenant theologian, a New Covenant man. I'm opposed by those who are called covenant theologians. I know it sounds very similar, but they're very different. The Reformed covenant theologians. And one aspect of covenant theology, of Reformed theology, generally speaking of evangelical theology, is that to bring sinners to Christ, we have to preach the law to them. This is called preparationism. We prepare sinners for Christ by preaching the law to them. It stems from John Calvin. Calvin had a threefold use of the law. Depending on which system you use to characterize his threefold use, it's either his first or his second use of the law. That is, the law prepares sinners for Christ. In other words, it's no use preaching the gospel to sinners before you've preached the law to them. Indeed, some covenant theologians have gone so far as to say, if you try to preach the gospel without preaching the law, you're guilty of preaching a mere sentimental story, meaningless to sinners. Now, preparationism has a very long history, and a very sad history too. I've written extensively about it. You can read it in my works. It's caused misery, untold misery, for unbelievers. And it's caused anxiety and grief and lack of assurance and introspection and doubt for believers. I mentioned just two, Richard Baxter and Jonathan Edwards. You can read it in their works. You can read about John Winthrop, how many years he took before he could come to Christ, and so on. There are many cases of it. Preparationism in New England, for example. The antinomian crisis there. You can read of the misery that's come from that, as men have tried to prepare sinners for Christ by preaching the law. Now then, what about this text, Romans 3:20? For by the law is the knowledge of sin. Well, this text at first glance seems to justify preparationism. So how can I write against it? How can I argue against it? How can I say it's wrong? For by the law is the knowledge of sin. If you don't preach the law, men won't know that they're sinners. If they don't know they're sinners, they won't trust Christ. If they don't trust Christ, they'll be damned. You must preach the law to sinners. You must prepare sinners for Christ. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. Well, that's grabbing the text out of context. A golden rule of interpretation is always to see how the text lies within its context. Read from Romans chapter 1, say verse 18, up to chapter 3, verse 20 and beyond, and you will see what I'm saying. What am I saying? Whether a man is a pagan, a Gentile, or a Jew, he is a sinner and under the wrath of God by nature. And one evidence of that is that all men die by nature. The pagans are sinners. The Jews are sinners because we've all sinned in Adam and we've all sinned in our own right. Gentiles sin against the light that they have. They have a double light, the light of nature, creation, that cries out that there is a God and he must be worshipped, obeyed, and served. But men suppress that knowledge and hide it and turn the glory of God, the invisible God, into something they can fashion after their own thinking and their own ideas. They also are given by God, Romans 2, 14 and 15, they are given a rudimentary knowledge of right and wrong. And their conscience bears witness to this. And between themselves, they discuss these things. And they know that they sin. They know that they fall. They know that they stumble. They know that they're accountable. All men, including pagans, guilty before God. The Jews, however, have greater light, for they not only have the light of nature and the rudimentary light within the conscience, they have the revealed law of God through Moses on Mount Sinai. They were given that temporary covenant God gave to Moses on Sinai for Israel, the law. And that gave Israel tremendous light, tremendous advantage. The Israelis, the Jews, realized that they had this advantage, but they turned it into bragging and boasting about their advantage. But as Paul says in Romans 3, there's no advantage in just having the law. There is advantage in having it, but unless you keep it, greater light, greater responsibility, greater accountability. Romans 3:19, the whole world is guilty before God. Those under the law, the Jews, are guilty because they do not keep the law. But all men, pagans and Jews, whether they have the law or whether they don't, are guilty. And the solution is not by the law, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But God has witnessed something independent of law and prophets, a righteousness that comes through Christ. That is the context. The law cannot contribute to salvation. The law was an advantage for the Jew. The pagans did not have it at all. Salvation is by Christ in the new covenant. That is the context. The idea that Romans 3:20 justifies preparationism is a million miles away from the text. It's an imposition on the text. It's wrong. This is not the only place in Romans where we get this teaching about the law. Let me read some verses to you from other places in Romans. I start with Romans 3:20, my text. Through the law comes knowledge of sin. Well, that's Romans 3:20. Where there is no law, there is no transgression. Sin in just Romans 4:15. Sin indeed was in the world before the law was given. You see, all men died before the law, even Abraham's children, because all men were sinners. But sin is not counted when there is no law. The law, yeah, but they still died. The law came in to increase the trespass. That's Romans 5:13 and 20. If it had not been for the law, said Paul, I would not have known sin. But of course, as a Jew, he had the law, and reading the law, he came under conviction of sin. What is this about trespass? What is this about increasing the consequence of sin by bringing in the law? Well, all men are sinners, whether or not they have the law. But as soon as the law came to Israel, it turned the law into transgression. Sin now became not sinning against rudimentary knowledge, but against a direct command, namely a trespass. That is what Paul is saying in Romans. So, how do I prepare sinners for Christ? I don't. There is no preparation for Christ. Ah, but sinners have to come under conviction of sin. So they do. So what will I do? What if I face a Jew who knows the law, but in my experience most of them don't have a clue about the law? I'm prepared to use the law. But like Paul, I'll use anything and everything. He used Cretan poets. He used common sense, nature, creation. He used anything and everything. Above all, he preached Christ. For Christ brings sinners to himself. Christ, the free offer of Christ's mercy, brings conviction of sin. What do I say to sinners? Your chiefest sin is this, that you will not receive Christ. You will not receive him. You will not believe upon him and trust him. John 3. That is the great condemnation. You will not come to me, he says. You will not believe. I'll use nature. I'll use the rudimentary conscience. I'll use any aspect of the word of God I can, but never a notion of preparing anybody for Christ. I'll preach Christ directly to them, immediately. I am with the apostle here. I am determined to know nothing among you, he said, save Jesus Christ and him crucified. We preach Christ Jesus as Lord. I would say to myself, woe is me if I preach not the gospel. The notion that we prepare sinners and we prepare Gentiles by taking them to the law, which was a temporary measure given to Israel, but completed, fulfilled, and rendered obsolete, Hebrews 8:13, by Christ. That notion is far-fetched, and sadly, it has caused such grief and bondage, as I say, to both sinners and saints. If any unbeliever is listening to me, watching me, you may never have heard a word of this before. You don't know what I'm talking about with the gospel and all the rest of it. But I tell you, your own conscience condemns you. Nature condemns you. There is a God, and you do not worship him and submit to him. You are answerable to him. You break your own rubrics. But the more light you have, the more I will use it to tell you how sinful and guilty you are before God. But I will say there is an offer of mercy for you. I can tell you more about it, but I tell you this now. Jesus Christ, God's Son, came into the world to save sinners. He bled and died for sinners. And all who trust him and plead the merits of his blood are washed forever from their sins and accounted righteous before God. You say you don't understand. You're not saved by understanding. Trust the Lord Jesus Christ. The rest of your life can explore more of it. Preparation for Christ? Come to Christ. Don't sit there seeking, wondering about preparation. Trust Christ now. This text, Romans 3:20, by the law is the knowledge of sin, is no justification for preparationism. It shows the uselessness of the law to save. It shows the advantage of the law to the Jew. But, as Paul is saying in the context, but now there is a righteousness from God without the law, witnessed to by the law and the prophets, and that righteousness is ready now. Jesus ready stands to save you, if you will only trust him. That, as I see it, is New Covenant theology, made simple. I'm not making it simple, it is simple. Trust Christ, for Christ is all. Covenant theology goes into a network, a system, a construct of preparationism, then confusing coming to Christ and then coming back to the law for sanctification. The complications are immense. They're unscriptural. New Covenant theology is this. Christ is all, for the sinner and for the saint. New Covenant theology, made simple.